Good morning. Today is Wednesday, January the 27th. Joining us this morning is, well, from the bunker, to quote somebody else on the talk on KINS, Mr. Madrone. Good morning, sir.
Good morning.
And a brisk one that it is.
It is. Bunker down, baby.
Yes.
Here comes the snow.
Are you ready for our Ever Wonder Why question for this morning?
Absolutely.
All right. Ever wonder why circus acts are performed in rings?
No, I don't know.
The first modern circus was conceived in 1763 by an ex-cavalry officer named Philip Astley. And the main attraction in Astley's circus was trick riding on horseback. Astley discovered very quickly that his riders could stay on their horses with much greater ease when the horses were made to gallop in a tight circle. To guide the horses in these circles, Astley placed round structures, or rings, on the circus floor where they remained during the entire circus performance. It was another circus owner, Antonio Franconi, who determined that the optimal diameter of the circus ring was 42 feet, the size that's still used today.
Ha ha! There you got it.
How's that for a roundabout logic?
I think you need to enter a punning contest.
Yeah, well, no, I can do it naturally. If I have to start thinking about it, I am dead meat. Oh, right. Boy. Well, let's kick off. I don't take your pick. You want to talk about the assessor first and that strange situation, or do you want to talk about the county taking back over kind of control of the determination of what status the county is in as far as the reaction to green, purple, polka dot, orange, magenta, whatever the coding is?
Well, it's all control issues, so take your pick.
Well, let's start with actually the county being able to make the determination of what's going on, which I think if you're from the left side of the spectrum or the right side of the spectrum, really doesn't matter a whole heck of a lot because, you know, that's the folks that know what's going on. Those on the ground, those who are there, you know, as long as you're not in favor of a centralized government, this has got to be a nice development for counties in California.
Yeah, it seems like it. And, you know, it's nice to have local control. The schools have actually had that for a while. They've been able to make the decisions themselves. But this does throw some things back to the county. You know, bottom line is trying to find that balance, as always, between opening things up and not doing it too quickly or unsafely. You know, so.
Yeah. I was talking with a fellow this morning. He has his business is in Illinois, but he lives in and does most of his commerce from Iowa. Okay, so he's across the river. He said in Illinois, the schools are all shut down, et cetera, et cetera. In Iowa, they have not been they have gone uninterrupted. And he said, other than for a couple of early cases that were misdiagnosed, not really much impact into the schools at all because they're paying attention. And I suspect that that's probably the key, Steve, is
that
as long as you pay
key.
Attention,
yep.
Things are going to kind of be okay.
Yeah, that's the key, that in schools, you've got the same kind of protocols you would have anywhere, but people are like all day long doubling down on all those efforts, right? And with a bunch of school children, believe it or not, you can actually control them masking easier than, say, a bunch of unruly adults.
Right? Wait a minute. How long has it been since you've had you were a parent with your kids at home? You say you could control your kids?
Yeah, I got 19 grandkids. I'm an expert at it.
Yeah.
If I don't know how to control something at this point, I'd be in a world of hurt, buddy. No, I'm the magic clown. I'm the math teacher. I'm the, you know, and the trick is to not have them even realize they're doing chores, you know, as you're teaching them math.
Oh, a little Tom Sawyer going on there.
Oh,
huh?
You bet, baby. But no, I think, you know, schools, because of the nature of them, absolutely have really intense protocols and safety measures that they're adhering to. As compared to businesses, many of them are doing incredibly well. Some of them are a little more lax. You know, as you go around the state, you'll find that some communities are very serious about masking and some are not with the adults, right? So I think local control is a great thing as long as we all can agree to continue to maintain all our safety measures. And, you know, even if you're getting vaccinated, one needs to continue those safety measures until we're all there and we've got this thing under control.
Now, you brought up the vaccination thing, and I think that that has been a puddle of twists and turns and muck and mire.
Yeah.
As different counties are being dealt with differently, the state is dealing with things differently, who
yep.
is what, as far as the rankings, redefinitions. Fred Van Fleck was in last Thursday and said that the state was looking to take the definition from 75 and older down to 65 and older, that in Humboldt County added another 16,000 people into
right.
the vaccine list before you could get to the next level of folks.
Yep.
He was a little bit more sensitive because that next level are teachers.
Yeah, that's right.
Yeah. So does the county have the ability to go with 75 or go with 65 and kind of really set its own definitions? Or are they still under the parental tutelage of the state?
Well, we can operate within those guidelines. And so the governor did lower it down to 65. And so we can do that. But as you pointed out, the estimate is that that means an additional 16,000 people that are between 65 and 75 would then be get vaccinated before the teachers. Well, we can make that 15,999 because I'm going to wait until all of our teachers, all of our frontline people, and everybody else get their needs, including people with immune compromised diseases and things like that. Now, that doesn't make a big difference, one person by any means, but you know, what we're doing is struggling with a lack of supply. You know, that's really what this is. And if there wasn't a lack of supply right now, we wouldn't be having to have these battles and fights over 65 versus the teachers. So what we now know over the last several weeks is that we were basically lied to about the supply, you know, and there was no real plan put together for distribution and the rest of it. And so now we're trying to play catch-up, and I think that we will be catching up. The supplies will increase. Johnson & Johnson's hopefully going to get their emergency approval soon. That'll be a third one coming online. And I have no doubt that over time this will smooth out, but, you know, we're all so frustrated and stressed out, you know, 10 months into this thing, that it's hard. It's hard for everybody, right? And so our patients are thin, and it's just really hard, but we've really just got to double down on this patient's business, work together with each other, maintain local control, but make really good decisions that don't further endanger our community.
Well, I really wish that this physical therapy patient was a little bit thinner too, but it didn't work that way for me. KINS, News and Information Time, it's 8:19.
Listen to 980 AM for the best music, ABBA, Neil Diamond, Barbra Streisand, Billy Joel, and the Fifth Dimension. The all-time best are heard every day, all day long on 980 AM. We are easy radio, easy on your ears and easy on your mind. This is memory-making music, and you'll love the memories you create. Tune in and hear the best music, easy radio, 980 AM.
Good morning, KINS, News and Information Time. It's 8:24. We're back talking shop this morning with Steve Madrone. Steve, the concept of the vaccines and then disseminating them and how to do that, that still seems to be like a huge train wreck for whatever's in California. You know, we had that suspension of for a
yep.
number of days with what had happened down in Southern California because a couple people had a reaction to it.
Right.
Okay, there was somebody in Nevada that died an hour or two after getting the shots.
Yeah.
Okay. I mean, it ain't perfect. And I don't think if anybody's waiting for perfection, they're ever going to be able to do anything. So
that's for sure.
How does the county and you as one of the five determine what is an acceptable risk?
You know, we do the best we can. I mean, none of us are experts in health per se. So we rely on our health experts and others. And you know, again, I think Humboldt County has been doing a great job. As difficult as this is, we have been working well together on this, and we've got to stay that course. I mean, the risks of opening back up, you know, some of it is personal risk. I mean, I'm still staying home most of the time. I can do my work from phone and computer. I have good access to that. Not everybody does, though. So, you know, it's really brought those issues forward. So, you know, as far as risk go, I think we have to just, no matter how much local control we get, we've got to be very careful in how we go about doing things and opening back up. And if people are struggling, there is help for small businesses, and there has been pretty good unemployment supply for people. You know, not everybody has been taken care of, though. And for those that haven't, I know it's just incredibly horrible right now.
Now, there were some new strands of viruses that have been reported in the last week or two.
Yeah.
Okay, so the question I think a lot of folks have is, okay, we're doing this and we're getting closer and closer to being able to be normal or to resume whatever we're going to resume. But now all of a sudden here comes another wave. Are we going to just treat it as something totally new and go back into the same thing and now we're locked down for another year? Or just say, you know, guys, follow the protocols, be as safe as you can. Let's go forward here and get this economy rolling.
Yep, and the vulnerable will die, and that's always been that case, no matter whether we're doing this or not. You know, vulnerable people do tend to die with things like this. I agree. I don't think we're out of it. I think our world has changed forever, per se, and there are a lot of things that are never really going to go back to the way they were. There have always been all kinds of very virulent bugs running around out there. And there's been a lot of talk for decades about how our heavy use with antibiotics and other things actually has been strengthening, you know, strep and
super virus.
Hearing about this kind of stuff forever and ever. The Gates Foundation and many others for a decade or more have been warning about these viruses and other kinds of things. So, you know, I don't know if I'll ever go back to shaking hands again, frankly. I'm just going to bow to you the next time I see you, Brian. And give you a little prayer sign there.
I would prefer a genuflection rather than a bow. I mean, if you're going to do it, let's do it right.
yes, Your Honor. great one.
Does Humboldt County have a system in place so when the vaccines are here, we start pushing it out in a normal, reasonable, easy to follow process, or is it going to be Scramble City like it seems to be in a number of other areas?
No, that's a great question. In fact, I just asked it of the health officer today for an answer tomorrow. We have another update tomorrow from the health officer at the beginning of our 9 o'clock board meeting, and a lot of questions will be answered. And you know, we've been asking for what's the plan, and there is a national plan, there's a state plan, and I've been saying, so what's our local plan? And so what we need to make sure that we have in place, and I hope to get these answers tomorrow, is a plan that says, when the supplies increase, here is our plan for increasing the people who can give shots at these locations, et cetera, et cetera. So, you know, that's what we're working on right now, is getting all of those details worked out so that when the supplies increase, we're able to take advantage of that and move quickly.
Are you in favor?
What we're seeing right now is a lot of scuttering back and forth because we were promised supplies that didn't happen. And then, as you said, supplies got shut down for a little while because of safety concerns. And so that's just a lot of fits and throws, you know, of jumping forward like a teenager driving a stick shift in the first time out, you know, or something. So bottom line is hopefully we'll soon be out of those fits and start phase and getting into something that's well-planned and moving forward to get people, you know, shots in arms, as they say.
And then when a lot of those vaccines did get here, it was messed up when it got here. I mean, implementation of those, or I guess sharing of those, was screwed up too. So, you know, it seems like at every level there has been somebody in a significant position dropping the ball or not being thorough, and it's like, geez, you know, we've got all this stuff with FEMA, we've got all this stuff with earthquakes, we know how to disseminate. How do we screw this one up?
Yeah, well, you know, all those other situations last a few weeks to a month or two, and this thing is just going on and on. So they're not comparable anymore. They used to be. But the bottom line is we have to have that plan, and I hope we hear those answers tomorrow, because we need to have that. People need to know, if I'm 65 and older, where do I call to make an appointment? If I'm a teacher, who do I call? How do I, you know?
Right.
That's the kind of details people are seeking in the public, and the sooner we get that out to the public, the less we'll all be handling all those individual calls all the time to try and, you know, manage this thing, which is kind of where we've been.
Right. Well, I suspect that the educators are going to be able to get the word out to their folks pretty directly.
Absolutely, yeah. And they are very much engaged and speaking up for themselves and the children, and good on them. So.
KINS, News and Information Time, it's 8:30.
Hey, community. Times are rough right now. Retail shops may be closing, but the bulk flower market is still open and moving fast. We here at Bayer can help turn your flower harvest into cash today. Call Bayer Extraction House at 707-693-2222. That's 707-693-2222. Don't miss out. It is time to sell. Bayer Extraction House, your flower selling powerhouse.
Good morning, KINS, News and Information Time. It's 8:35. We're back talking shop this morning with Steve Madrone, Humboldt County 5th District Supervisor. Talk shop presented by CDH Painting, Redeck, Humboldt Termite and Pest Control, Murphy's Markets, and Baywood Golf and Country Club. Steve, it's a little bit of a, well, I don't know how you could say it, a prickly situation when an elected department head has serious critiques being made by peers, by department members, by the community. The assessor has been under a fair amount of scrutiny over the past months. There was a development last week that kind of brought it to a head again. How do you go about a situation like that in general terms, and then we can get into the specifics of what's going on?
Yeah, well, you know, for me, what I try to do, Brian, is try to delve into the information and the issue as deeply as I can to try and understand what all the nuances are in a particular situation. I've been lucky enough in my career to have a lot of conflict resolution training, and I really, really think that that's the kinds of things we have to be trying to do when these situations come up. It's easy to just blame one person or one department for all the dysfunctionalities within our accounting and paying system in the county. But that's not what's going on. You know, what's going on, from my perspective, is that the county had gotten into some pretty lax accounting procedures. Now, that's not to say there was any fraud happening or anything illegal. But when you have lax procedures, the opportunity then exists. And so what's happened as departments have gotten into bad habits with the way they've submitted requests without proper supporting documentation, et cetera, we now have an auditor controller who has decided that she is going to require all departments and all special districts and everybody to submit additional background information that is called supporting documentation so that they can do their job of assuring that what is being approved is valid, legitimate, and authorized. And so that's created a clash, right? So when you suddenly start changing a system that has existed a certain way for a long time, and you change that system, there is going to be difficulty, and people are going to struggle with that change. So that creates conflict. So what my goal as a supervisor has been is to try and understand, where we can make improvements. I'm not interested in blaming people for things. I'm certainly interested in understanding why things have occurred. But at the end of the day, what I'm looking for is where can we put resources to be efficient and accurate in accounting for our flow of money and getting things done timely, efficiently, and all that so the machine works properly. And so that has meant trying to get some new staffing in the auditor's office long before our current auditor controller, the previous one, was asking for more staffing. for several years and pointing out that the workload was too big for the staff they had. And then with COVID, a lot of departments lost staff, and if you've only got 10 or 12 people in your department, you lose two or three to COVID. What I mean by that is health concerns or other issues for long-term absences, then you're down staffing, let alone below where you should have been in the first place. So that's true in that department in particular. And so what we're trying to do right now is provide the staffing and consulting assistance in the places we need to get caught up on our books, to get everything up to snuff, and to institutionalize what the requirements will be for each department in regards to what they need to submit to get things done timely and properly.
Now, wasn't that stuff already on the books and it just wasn't being adhered to? Or is this a matter of changing the books, quote-unquote, or the guidelines, and then implementing?
Well, you know, and certainly out there in manuals and books and lessons you can take. Were they in place in the county? Not in a great way. And were they being implemented? So where we're at now is trying to improve on that and further institutionalize, make it clear in writing in a document, this is what's required. That way there's no questions, and departments can submit things timely with proper documentation, and then the auditor controller can do their job and process and approve everything and move it forward. So, you know, we're in the middle of that, and we're making strides forward now. There was some mistakes made recently with the Cal card. That was all over the news. I very much appreciate that the auditor controller took personal responsibility for that, to the tune of even agreeing to pay the late fees out of her own pocket. Now, you know, with those news releases, there was also comments made about how there's still a lot of other problems and everything. And I don't know, I didn't think that was the time or place to be saying that. I think, you know, when somebody's making the effort to improve things and take responsibility, that's the time for a pat on the back and say, great, glad you're on board, let's keep moving in that direction. How can I help? What parts can I do better? You know, because we all have responsibility, including us as the board.
I obviously have to make a correction. It's not the assessor that was in the issue. It was the auditor-controller.
I'm sorry. Yes, auditor-controller is what I meant.
Right.
Sorry.
KINS, News and Information Time, it's 8:42.
The Redwood Region Economic Development Commission wants you to know that local economic development agencies, business resource organizations, financial institutions, and jurisdictions are working together to provide resources for the COVID-19 pandemic. For more information, go to northcoastsbdc.org or call the OES Business Hotline at 268-2527. 268-2527.
Good morning, KINS, News and Information Time. It's 8:46. We're back talking shop this morning with Supervisor Steve Madrone. Steve, one of the challenges I think that a lot of people have, particularly on the outside, you know, we're not as sensitive to the blaming game, but we are sensitive to the lack of, I guess the easiest word is accountability, even though that almost sounds like a pun. The people that do the good job, you're right. Slap them on the back, kiss them on the lips, do whatever you need to do, keep it going,
careful,
rah, rah,
right?
rah. But people who are not performing to the standards and who are not doing the effort, there needs to be some of that kind of holding them accountable. And I think that's one of the frustrations that a lot of folks have with some of these various things that go on, is that there doesn't seem to be a mechanism for holding people accountable.
Oh, there is.
So is that just something we're not familiar with? Or because it's personnel, when someone gets fired, we just don't hear about it?
Well, electeds, the recourse is recall or the election.
Sure. That one's pretty
so
straightforward.
Electeds are, in fact, constantly accountable to the public, but it's a process that can take time, effort, and money to try and hold them accountable, right, through the election or recall process. But it's been used, you know, it's the tool that's absolutely there. And so for the electeds, we've got the DA, the sheriff, the auditor controller, the tax assessor. There's the number of positions, including the board of supervisors, city councils. We're all electeds, and that's where we get held accountable. Most of the department heads are appointed by the board of supervisors, and so we, in their performance evaluations, try to hold their toes to the fire in terms of improvements, offer them recommendations for, you know, areas that they need to work on, et cetera. And so that's how that's held accountable. And then, of course, the media, including you and all the papers and everybody else, also hold us accountable, right?
Right. But no, I guess I must not have been too clear. It's not the electives, not the titles. It's the assistant blank. It's the senior staff. It's the junior staff. It's the frontline counter workers.
Right.
Where most of us have the interaction, and either we can have real positive experiences, or a lot of times that's where the frustration starts to occur.
Right. Well, frankly speaking, I think there, in my experience in conflicts, there is no situation where only one side created the conflict. It's always true that both sides have something to do with the conflict. And so when I looked at this situation with the Auditor Controller's Office, you know, my take on things is that we all have some responsibility here, and I've looked at what we as a Board of Supervisors have responsibility for, and one of those was to provide appropriate staffing to be able to get the job done. So that took 4 years for us to finally get there. We started making changes about a year ago, offering some more positions, and we finally added two more last week. So I think we're there now, and that was our responsibility, right? And departments need to do a better job with timely invoicing and submitting documents. And everybody needs to, you know, get on board with improving what they're doing and taking responsibility for that. And I know we have a lot of really awesome employees in the county that really care. And so I want them to know that we recognize the hard work that you do. And we just hope that we can all, you know, paddle together downstream. We've got a lot of rapids ahead. Let's all get on board and keep those paddles in the water, right?
In the same direction.
Yes, the same direction. None of those backpedalers while we're going forward.
Yeah, so he drops their oar in the back end there, and all of a sudden you're going in circles.
Brian, backpedal, backpedal. Brian, come on.
Yeah, pick it up, Papstein. Let's get this thing rolling here. So you have seen my aquatic skills then.
Hey, stay afloat, baby.
Yeah. Hey, if folks want to know a little bit more about this kind of stuff or have any concerns, is that viable to send an email to their supervisor? Where should they go?
No, I think that's a great place to go. I think that's, you know, one of our prime roles is to help the community understand what we're doing and be accountable to them. So phone calls, emails, all good stuff.
All right, man.
It takes a while to get back, but we do try to get back to every single call.
Thank you, thank you, thank you. Enjoy your Wednesday, okay?
You too, Brian. Take
care. All righty. See everybody tomorrow.